harder at different times to do that. But and so you kind of get a sense if you're on the ground more than anything else. So I'm going to throw that out at you. How would you see that spiritually as a nation? I can identify a lot of things in the United States spiritually, and we could talk at length at that. But so I'm just curious, as a person of Christ, how would you how can they lead maybe spiritually as well?
There are a lot of really good things going on spiritually in these Central American countries, I think, as well as many of the others. In ways, they're actually stronger spiritually than we are here in the Western civilization.
Sure.
But there's also the society is has an impact on that. One of the things we see is that spiritually they can be strong. They understand prophecy. They and truly use the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
But there's also this societal impact on them that allows corruption to seep into the churches and into the people and into the whole Christian base there. So it's a little bit. It's kind of interesting to just be able to look at it, and you go, we love to go there and worship and love to go there and hear the word spoken, love to go there and see the spirituality, and then you hear about the corruption that's within the churches, and I just go, this is crazy. So it's they need help. They need I know our church is at River Valley. We've gone down and done some pastor conferences to try to help teach the pastors. A lot of pastors are not trained. They're just people who love Jesus and they study the Bible and they start a church. So they need help with training
and leadership
and they need the money to be pastors. Don't pay. We met a pastor last year that he said, if I could get $50 a month, I could be a full-time pastor instead of working every day.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So now, okay, here you are. Let's go back to your story here. You go down to Honduras 4 or 5 years ago. Andrea says, hey, guess what? I'm living with you. And you talk, all this happens.
Right.
What has happened since then? Because I see two stories kind of running side by side.
Right.
One is how all these kids are being affected and coming to the United States and going to school. But I see a whole different story going on with you personally. You know, Hope for One Child is an organization. It's an institute. It's an organization. But it seems like in the midst of all this, God is doing something specific in you as well, Gary. So maybe talk about that a little bit.
Thanks.
How has this whole journey kind of affected you? Because you're rounding third base. You're coming home. You're like, oh, I'm about to retire.
Yeah, you're done.
Vacations. And now you bring home.
Florida.
Yeah.
There's none of those cruises and the retired vacations that you thought about. God says, you're not doing that. And that's okay. Actually, what it's done for our lives is it's made us younger. You can't be old when you got teenagers. It's also, for my wife and especially for me, I've gone back into working with youth, helping kids understand that God has a plan in their life, that the whole scripture is full of encouraging words, and we need to help young people. And Andrea's helped me with that. Oddly enough, our personalities are almost identical. I'm a type A, she's
exactly
a type A. So we
sensed that pretty early.
Yeah, we butt heads quite a bit. But you know what? We're able to sit and talk, and it's given me the opportunity to correct some of the errors I made with my first four kids. Not that they're not awesome people.
Yeah.
They've got great families. We can't ask any more of them. But we've had enough. God's given us an opportunity with this one, with Andrea, to go even further, to do even more things, and because now we understand. And he's opened our eyes to more scripture, to understand what he wants us to do with young people. So that's what we're doing, and it's made a huge change in my life. My energy level is like off the charts anymore.
That's fun.
It's a blast.
Andrea,
how about you?
It's been great as well. You know, it's been a great experience, not only for me mentally and spiritually as well, because, you know, it's very hard to be away from your family. I mean, it's just hard. Let's just put it out there. It's going to be very hard for kids, you know, to just leave their families and come to a whole different culture and a whole different. But it's been great. I've been very blessed as well to have them in my life. You know, they've taught me a lot, and it's just been great. I really can't can explain how great it has been to be with them as well.
And so you're doing some research at Notre Dame.
I am, yes.
What are you researching?
So when I was a kid, I had dengue virus, which is a virus transmitted by Aedes aegypti mosquito, which is also the transmitter of Zika virus, which is kind of big right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with that, and I'm trying to come with a way to decrease mosquito population, which will lead to the decreasing of the virus.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Because it's kind of not good to say, oh, we're going to get rid of them just by radiation or just by something else, because they've been trying to find a cure for it and they still not find a cure for it. So. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes. Yeah, I was not thinking about that. How old are you?
I'm 17.
Yeah, when I was 17, that was not on my train of
thought. That wasn't on my radar either.
No, yeah. It was kind of like, hey, yeah. I think I might go to college. I don't know. Yeah.
Right. I think I might go to school too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, Gary, what is happening now? Are there more kids coming into the program? And
we do. Yeah. I was in Honduras about a month and a half ago, and we interviewed. It was crazy for me. I asked a school that we're associated with, a Christian school down there. I said, "I need 8 students to put on our that we will accept and put into our program." And the director came back the next day and said, "I'm sorry, we have 16."
Oh, wow!
And I said, you know, that's a lot of students. And she said, we sat in prayer, and these are the 16 that God gave us. And I went,
I love it.
Use the guide card.
Okay,
yeah, guide card.
That's what we're going with. So we're in the throes of getting all the profiles, pictures, videos on our website so that people can look at them and go, wow, God's really touching me on this. And, and, you know, this is – we see how we can – we call it bringing mission field into your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Our mission work is in our house.
That's a great twist. I love that.
And that's not an original with us. We copied it from a good friend that's doing the same kind of thing with other kids. But what it means is that it gives all of us an opportunity to serve God in a way that it's not been available. Right. You know, a lot of people can't do global missions.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, their kids are grown and they go, well, now what are we going to do? Let's go play golf. Let's go retire and just sit around. Well, you know, that's crazy. Because God does – I haven't found one thing in the Bible that says when you're 65, you retire.
Mm-hmm.
And we got friends that are 55 that are retired. And I'm going, whoa, you guys need to be running because God's got a lot of work that you can do for
him.
So all of that being said, we just said there's people out there, we know there's families that are either available because their kids are grown or they love foster kids, and they for some reason the foster program's not working out for them, or adoption. We can't bring babies, and the kids in our program must have families. That's the only way you can get a visa. But that's the strong part about it. You're getting a kid that has been raised properly and is strong in their faith. That's a requirement that we have. All kids must have accepted Christ as their Savior before they can get into the program. We're bringing kids who are smart, who are believers, who are active in their schools, that have families, and they're full of love and compassion, and they have an understanding. God's given them a direction in their life.
Yeah.
She knew what she wanted before she came. It's so much different than, you know, that's the easy part for us. We're going, wow, all we got to do is keep up with you now.
Yeah. She's running already.
One of the things, too, that you probably need to say is that the kids that you're getting, like as families, the kids that you're getting is they have to be willing to, you know, go back to their countries. They can't just stay here, you know.
Right.
Because let's say United States is beautiful, but we're not we're not here to stay. We want to go back to our countries and serve as well.
That's what blew me away. I sat on the phone with Gary. When I was on the phone with him, I'm in my office and I'm pacing. And my assistant is like, wait, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I get word pictures and I see things in pictures, and I don't know. This brings me back to Moses.
Right.
And here's Moses. It says when he was born, they saw that he was, the King James says, a goodly child. They saw there was something special about him. Mm-hmm. And here's the time when Pharaoh's killing off all the babies.
Mm-hmm.
His mother's like, even if I have to hide him in a basket in the river, send him down the river. God's going to take care of him. And yeah. basically, she was sending her child away.
Right.
He gets picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah. He gets raised up in a much more opulent place. Mm-hmm. But he then gets sent back to his people
right.
to help free them and save them. And yeah. so that's what I see, not just with one, but with a whole generation, to affect a whole generation.
Exactly.
So that you now change the whole landscape of a country yeah. mm-hmm. yeah. by bringing them in, pouring into them,
yeah.
directing them, educating them, and then sending them back. It's like the most genius covert operation ever. I love it. And so you're like, wait, how are we going to solve these social ills?
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring them here. Let's educate them. Let's love them. Let's bring them to Christian godly homes and then send them back and inject them right back into that community so that they can make sweeping change.
Yeah,
it's like a godly Trojan horse. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, exactly right. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, the yeah. one thing that's been really hitting me, God has been hitting me with a 2x4 in the last month, especially in the last month. You think I'd be awakened way beforehand, you know, but God does these things. And he gives us on these journeys, right? And the one thing he's been really hitting me on is two things. One is that God is a big God. And the other is that we can trust him. Mm-hmm, and right. and those two things have really been hitting me. And the one area that's really been then hitting me is like, okay, how does that get into the next generation? And in the United States, I can speak for the United States, you know, there's so many different areas in which our children are not being taught about the love of God. We have some guys in some black robes back in the early 60s decided to take prayer out of school. And that's my little tantrum right there. Okay. That's not politically correct, but I'm not here to be politically correct. It was just really, since then, we have seen God not being proclaimed to the next generation. And so programs like this, in which God has laid on your heart to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world, I can only stand up and applaud that.
Yeah.
Because that God is involved in that. Again, he's a big God. And so, anyways, I had to get my little sermon in there.
Well, you pastor types, yeah, I tell you. Yeah, yeah.
This is God's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some corporate leadership, and
yeah.
and I ran my own corporation, so I've got some background in that part. But this is way outside yeah. of my comfort area.
yeah.
Bringing a kid
yeah.
in when you're getting ready to retire
right.
and trusting. You said trust.
Yeah.
But one of the things that struck us the most, and it's become one of the scripture for the basis of our ministry, is in Proverbs 22:6, it says train up the children.
Yeah.
It doesn't say your child.
Yeah. Right.
So there's nothing, the children, so that when they become old, they will know which way to go.
Absolutely.
And that's in everything. That's our own kids here. That's the kids all over the world. That's not just hope for one child, but that's something we all need to do. And we take it as, okay, this is the direction we need to go. We're bringing kids here. We're going to train them up, and we're going to send them back so that they make mm-hmm. that difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to just, before we, I know we're getting down to the wire here, but I really feel like there's someone mm-hmm. listening, and maybe they're a 50-plus person
yeah.
who thinks, you know what, I'm going to kind of coast for the rest of my life. Well, I just brought up Moses. Moses then gets called back to his, at 80 years old.
Yeah, right.
To go lead
yeah.
his, you know, and it's like, what? You know, I'm just trying to chill, lead some sheep, live a quiet life. And he says, no, you're going back to Egypt. And then I got a whole new assignment for you for
yeah.
40 years in the wilderness yeah. with these
Absolutely.
Folks. And so if you feel like, man, you know, it's not really much to my Christian walk. There's not much to my Christianity. You know, pray a very dangerous prayer, like Gary prayed. Mm-hmm. If Lord, if this is you, and confirm it, not just once, twice, three times,
Amen.
God may have you in a whole new different realm of your life. I think that's one of the most powerful things of this testimony is, just when you think, hey, you know, I'm just going to sit back and chill.
Yeah.
No, God has a whole nother assignment for you. So I encourage you, though, those who are out there, one of the most powerful aspects of this testimony for me is putting yourself out there and praying that God would open up a way. And so mm-hmm. let me just close in that, if I could. But before I do, if you could just give some information about your website.
Yeah. It's very easy, www.hopeforonechild, all spelled out, .org.
.org.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gary. Yeah. Thank you,
thank you
and
all.
Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah, for being here.
Yeah.
And if you want to know a little more, just go to hisstoriesbroadcast.com, and we will have this on that podcast as well.
Amen. Yeah. So if you don't catch it, then, yeah, definitely get it on the website.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for Gary and Andrea, Lord. I thank you for the impact that they're making, and just for Andrea's presence, Lord. I sense greatness on her and for her, and, Lord, for this ministry. So, Lord, open up doors and cause Gary to take in another generation, to be like you were raising up Moses, is to go back into Honduras to change that nation.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, and I ask that you would even speak to people out there who are questioning where they are in life and what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life now that my children are grown, now that I'm an empty nester. Lord, make your purposes and your plans clear and use people in a mighty way, even in the later seasons of this life.
Yes.
And we thank you and we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
You make us strong.
Alone without you. Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com. To add your part to the story God is telling.